I'm going to get Berkey in here, and we'll keep taking some phone calls. Former Vol great Chris Burke now joined us on the program. Berkey, how you doing, brother?
What's up, Tony B?
Berkey, you're very positive today. It was unbelievable of you to call the shot today over at TonyBasilio.com. East Tennessee and the Tennessee Nation, one station, one nation, needed to hear that live today at Lincoln's here, Illinois Avenue, Oak Ridge. Needed to hear, Burke, what you think about Derek Dooley and this staff going forward.
Well, I just, you know, I wanted to bring a little order to what I felt like was a serious doom and gloom campaign that's been going on around the university. And, you know, obviously I try to take an optimistic viewpoint on things just in general. And I really like everything about the guy. I think he's smart. I think he's personable. I think he is disciplined. I think that they came into this season with a great chance to be successful. And obviously, I mean, you know, 2 weeks into the 2 weeks before the start of the season, somebody said, who are the best three football players on your team? You'd say, Jansen Jackson, Tyler Bray, and Justin Hunter, you know, and obviously they're all gone, two of which we will get back, one of which we won't, and so he's been dealt a tough hand. But if you look at recruiting, which is going well, and he has completely cleaned up the off-the-field issues, I mean completely, and when you think about all those things, I think we have a lot to be excited about. I think our rebuilding project is way bigger than most people give it credit for, and we are dealing with a time and place in the SEC where it is the strongest it has ever been. And so it's different than in the mid-90s or even the late 90s where there's only a couple, two, three, four good teams in the league. Now you're dealing with an 8 or 10 team league, and it's a tough time to be rebuilding. So I think we need to be patient. I think we need to believe in the guy. I think we need to be positive and understand that we're going to take our lumps. But I really believe we are in a position to contend, and I believe we'll win the East next year. Again, I'm sure people will laugh at that, but I think we're going to be ready by next season. If we can stay healthy, if we can keep Tyler upright, I think we will win the East next year. I believe that. So,
did you hear that? I want to make sure Scott Green heard that. Did you hear what Burke just said? He's calling the shot.
I like it. He's absolutely correct. I agree with him.
SEC East champs next year.
I agree.
Harvey, you feeling it?
I don't know how, because Georgia's probably going to win the East this year, right?
Yes.
And they have everybody coming back.
Yes.
That's where I'm coming from.
And we got to go to Georgia. And I would say that will obviously be a make or break game. But, you know, I still believe, and again, I'm optimistic, but I still think we would have beaten Georgia this year with a full deck. You know, and again, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm way wrong. But I just think we're trending in the right manner. I know it's hard to see the forest through the trees right now, but I think that we are on the right path. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's 2013's our year if Tyler doesn't decide to jump on us. But
I think you're dead right.
I like the direction we're going, and that might sound silly for a team who's 0-3, but I really do.
Hey, Berk, don't you want to see us run the football better, though? I mean, isn't that the key to us getting better and going forward? We've got to start running. We can bank on Bray all we want. We've got to run the football to win in this league.
I agree completely, and I think, obviously, you know, if you look at the LSU-Alabama model, that is what they do. And I think everybody was certainly discouraged with the first part of this season because, you know, you say, hey, we're bringing our whole line back. Certainly we'll be better. I think the LSU game was a step in the right direction. And the hope is I think Marlon Lane is going to be a good SEC back. And you're banking on these kids developing. Now, I will say, you know, having seen it firsthand, obviously in a different sport, is just because a kid's a year older doesn't make him a year better. I mean, I played with a kid at the University of Tennessee who was better his freshman year than he was his junior, you know, on our baseball team. And so it doesn't necessarily mean, but you just think that 3 years in the weight room and 3 years of being coached and 3 years of being at film study, that 3 years in the same system, that we're going to continue to grow. And I hope by the time we get to the end of this year that we're already going to start to see some of the fruit of that labor and start to run the ball better as the season goes on. But I agree with you. We're going to have to run the ball better. We can't just have Tyler throw it 40 times. I agree.
And we visit today with Chris Burke on the eve of Tennessee-Alabama. We're live today here at Lincoln. Special night coming up here tonight. I'm going to let Greeny tell you about that here in a little bit. In the meantime, we've got a great lunch for you today. If you want to come out and eat some lunch and talk some sports, Steve Russell with us. Saw a gentleman over there and his lady friend earlier came in, some other folks. So thank you for coming by and supporting the program today. And get out and support these folks when you can. I want to go to our phones now. We got Berkey with us. Get some calls in here. Scott Green's alongside of Harvey and myself. And let's go to the phones as we welcome in B.O.B., Big Orange Billy's Dynamite from down in Birmingham. B.O.B., how you doing?
Straight off the top, it is Bama week, and no matter what the situation is and what the Saturday result may hold, it's still great to be a Tennessee Vol, Tony.
No question about it. I'd rather spend the most miserable day in Knoxville, Tennessee, than the brightest, sunniest day in Birmingham any day of the week.
Well, you don't have to worry about that. Mother Nature is awfully kind to us down here. We had mid-40s temperatures, which meant everybody broke out the stocking caps and was scraping the windshield this morning. They're not used to it down here, Tony. Berkey, I got a great deal of respect for you as a former Vol letterman. It was great seeing you and your team honored at the Cincinnati game earlier this year for your performance and making it to the College World Series, and obviously your pro record speaks for itself. Now, I don't know if what your plans are for the future. I don't know if you want Jimmy Cheek's job down the road or Dave Hart's job down the road. I appreciate the enthusiasm. But when I hear you make comments about Derek Dooley being intelligent, I agree. When I hear you making comments about him being organized, I agree. What I don't hear out of you, Burke, and what I think the dialogue has been about this week, with all due respect to Dooley and the situation he's inherited, is a matter of confidence in knowing that this guy's a winner. And that's the one thing I'm not hearing out of the Dooley supporters. And I'm not saying I'm a detractor. I'm just trying to be a realist about the situation. But I don't hear the word winner, and I don't hear the word confidence. I wonder if you could address those two items for me.
Well, I think that's a fair point. You know, I think a lot of the times as we look at Coach Dooley's, you know, you say he's a winner. You know, you think about what happened, the fact that he chose to leave Nick Saban's side and go to Louisiana Tech, where, yes, he had an overall losing record, but he did, correct me if I'm wrong, win the only bowl game in the history of the program. Is that right? And had an 8-4 season at a program that was destitute, basically, when he took it over. So, the next year they went back down. But you're talking about a guy who has seen some success. You're talking about a guy that did hold a team together that, as we all know, could have completely folded last year when they're sitting at 2-6. And was basically robbed out of having a winning season. I mean, you know, he should have been at least 7-6, if not 8-5 last year. And, you know, we can talk about that till the cows come home. But I think it is unfair to point to his 3 years at Louisiana Tech, which was a complete disaster when he got there, and his year and a half here at the University of Tennessee, which was for our league, and for our standards, the University of Tennessee, a complete disaster when he got here, and somehow say the guy's not a winner. The things that come out of his mouth, the way he carries himself, the programs that he's put into place, the pedigree that he has, both with his dad and under Saban, everything about him speaks to being a winner. And until I see 3 or 4 years of that not happening, I will continue to believe that.
Chris, I appreciate the comment there. I wouldn't disagree with anything you said other than the fact that he's yet to prove it to anybody with his win-loss record. My concern about Tennessee football right now is that we have potentially hired a project to do a project. It's not like we got Mitt Romney stepping in to take over a company and turn it around. A guy with a proven track record, regardless of what you think of him as a presidential contender.
Right. Right.
That's my big concern. Do I like Dooley? Absolutely. I like a lot of the things he represents. A lot of people do. I want the guy to win bad. Matter of fact, we could lose every game on the schedule the rest of the way out. As long as we win Saturday and beat those punks in gold from Nashville, you won't hear any complaints out of me.
Well, I just think time will tell. I know that's an impossible thing to say when we're right here in the heart of the Southeastern Conference schedule. Everybody wants to win, you know. It's funny because everybody gives the old patient song and dance in the off season, and then we get in the heart of the conference schedule, and nobody likes to lose, and that's what makes us great. If you read my blog today, you know, my three reasons for why the three positives. Number one is that we're Tennessee. We will always be good at football because our fan base will demand it. And if Coach Dooley isn't the guy, we will move on because our fan base and our alumni will demand it. So in the long term, I know nobody wants to talk about the long term. In the long term, I have no worries. And I really think that Derek is going to be the guy, and I know it's sickening. You got to understand, I said this in my blog today, too. I entered the Tennessee family never even understanding that we could possibly lose to Alabama. I didn't even know Alabama was our rival. We used to beat them so bad my first 3 or 4 years. And then I had my classmates and my buddies that grew up in Tennessee like, oh, yeah, they used to beat our brains in all the time. Like, what? We kill these guys. Alabama stinks. You know, and same way with LSU and same way with Georgia. And so, obviously, it hurts for me to go into a game not even thinking we have a chance. But I think we're headed in the right direction. We just have to stay patient as a fan base.
Tony, to address real quick Phil Savage's comments earlier, and I don't disagree with anything he said because he's watched Alabama more and more closely than I have this year. But there's one other piece of the puzzle about Alabama that nobody's talking about. And everybody wants to talk about how vastly improved their receivers are. And you look at their receptions and you look at their yards on paper, they are vastly improved over what they were last year and outperforming expectations. What you don't see, and that's people need to pay close attention to, and I hope the Tennessee coaching staff is looking at this, Alabama does not have a viable vertical down the field passing game. They throw short balls and let their receivers make plays. If you can keep Alabama from going deep and keep them in front of you and tackle well, you've got a chance to keep it respectable as far as how many points they score.
He's going to hold the score down on his buddy this week. He's not going to kill his buddy. He's not. He's not going to put it on. If I were betting, I would bet Tennessee covers the spread. You guys can laugh at that. I would bet that Dooley Saban's going to hold the score down on his buddy. He's going to do what he did to Joe Paterno earlier in the year, which is play the game between the 20s, not take chances, not go crazy, and not try to kill his buddy. He doesn't have anything to prove. Their game's in 2 weeks. And B.O.B., I thank you. I'm calling the shot right now. Tennessee in an upset Saturday. They're going to pull the line. B.O.B., thank you. I'm going to get Andy in here next, as we are live today at Lincoln's here on Illinois Avenue in beautiful Oak Ridge, where there is a reunion coming up for the 91 Oak Ridgers tonight right here at Lincoln's. And it's going to be a huge night tonight. They're going to have some live music here as Girls Go, Kimber Cleveland, Roxy Randall, and the whole gang starting tonight at 7:30. It's going to be unbelievable. Unbelievable. Tonight, Clinton and Oak Ridge battle on Thursday Night Football. This place is going to be jam-packed. Jam-packed, wall-to-wall. Let's go back to the phones. One nation, one station. And before we go back to our phones, Berkey, you got me all excited today, but I do want to thank you for taking a few. Berkey, in the World Series, on the way out, give me your opinion on the World Series. Texas has too much for St. Louis, but St. Louis is too hot for Texas. I can't figure this thing out.
Yeah, that's pretty well said. You know, both lineups are very, very deep and scary. I think St. Louis with the home field advantage and obviously already having won game one. You notice in my blog, I threw my boy Berkman as the MVP, and he started last night 2-for-4, 2 RBIs. So I hope that continues. My boy can put an MVP trophy on his nail. But I just think St. Louis is the right team. It feels like 06 again when you're just talking about a red-hot team whose manager can do no wrong. I know you love to hear that. Every movie make works out. And after winning game one, knowing that they do have home field advantage, I like the Cardinals in this series.
On the way out, hey, Greeny, who do you like in the World Series, brah?
St. Louis. My boy Lincoln played there. I got a lot. That's real life.
You guys with your with your affiliation.
You gotta drop names, man. You gotta let the people know you're connected, Tom. You know, your boy Ryan Howard, that's how you do it.
Let me tell you something. Tony La Russa makes me ill.
And
what he's done, the way he pulls pitchers in the fourth inning and the third inning, and he's so smug, and I'm with this guy, throw two pitches, and then I'm going to go out and get him, and I'm always on TV, and I got a mullet, and I'm 65 years old.
Hey, I got to tell you a great story on the way out. With Tony Phillips, when I was in spring training with the Reds last year, Tony Phillips was on our guest instructors. He told us the story when he was DHing for the A's back in the day when La Russa was named for the A's, that Tony wasn't in the lineup. So Tony was like just chilling. It was a day game and he was still a little groggy. He was still waking up with some coffee. And it got to the 9 hole in the first inning with the bases loaded and he pinch hit Tony Phillips in the first inning.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
The first inning of a game, Tony Phillips said, Tony Phillips was talking like, dog, I was just on the end of the bench. I was just chilling, having me a cup of coffee, ready to watch me a game. Tony looks at me and goes, grab a bat. And I tell you, it was a funny story. I'm telling you, you pinch hit in the first inning. It's unbelievable.
The guy overmanages and gets away with it, and he always has.
Incredible.
He has great talent, and it's incredible, yeah. Thank you, Berkey. You're a good man.
All right, take care, guys.